Hello, this is Daniel Gregory. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Perceptive Photographer Podcast. This is our 280th episode, a nice round number for this week's podcast. I wanted to start this week's podcast off by saying that there's, I think, one thing you could probably do to make yourself the best photographer you can, the best photographer possible, the photographer of all photographers, and that'd be to wear a frickin' mask. So if you're out and about, please make sure you remember to put on your mask to keep everybody safe and sound. It's a small thing you can do. And if you think it destroys your freedoms to wear a mask, by all means, please put on a mask and walk around and see if you still have any freedom to do anything. And I think you'll be surprised at what you can accomplish by wearing a mask. So please make sure you're doing your part to become a great photographer by remembering to wear a mask and keep everybody safe. There's my public service announcement for the week. I was going to repeat, wear a mask, wear a mask, wear a mask, wear a mask for 12 minutes, but I think hopefully with my little become the greatest photographer ever anecdote to start the podcast, you'll remember to wear one. I think it's important for all of us to keep everybody safe and sound. That being said, I wanted to jump into this week's topic. So I've been out and I was doing some night photography, shooting in the twilight and into the late evening hours. One of the things, if you haven't done night photography or you haven't done low light photography before, is your shutter speeds oftentimes increase. And if you're shooting digital, you know, without any kind of ND filters, it's not uncommon. You could be in the 6, 7, 8, 10 second range, no reciprocity failure. If you're shooting film, you could be in several hours because of reciprocity failure of your film giving the exposure. But maybe you're shooting star trails, so you've got a 30 minute, couple hour exposure. One of the things I like to do when I'm doing night photography, because of the extended, you know, shutter speeds and the time it takes to get out there, is I just like to have more than one camera. So I can set one up, set another one up, get two different shots kind of going while I'm working back and forth. Because it's an amount of times out there. You're actually sitting out there and you're kind of waiting for these longer exposures to happen. So like I said, maybe you've got 30 seconds, a minute, 15 seconds, 2 minutes, whatever the time is. So where you would normally maybe make a shot, a couple of shots, take a quick peek at the back of the camera, move on to the next shot. Here you've got this delay. And one of the things that I noticed this time is there's certain elements, like if you're out in your light painting, you're looking at an exposure and you're making some decisions about maybe how you're going to paint light on a tree or a rock or a building or something. You might have to make a subtle adjustment there. You might initially be thinking about some exposure elements. So you've got some of that kind of nerdy photography science that you're dealing with. But at some point you start to make some of these exposures and you want to make sure you get several captures. You want to make sure you've got the right kind of composition, multiple frames in case, because of the long exposure, you've got some movement. You want to make sure you can deal with all those elements. You get the kind of photograph you want. So you're left with this element of time, this sense of the camera's running. You can't bump the camera. You can't look through the viewfinder. You can't really do anything. And you're kind of left with your own thoughts. You're left with your own kind of sense of the world as you're waiting for this exposure to happen. And as I was out there shooting this last time, I got to thinking about some of the things you think about as a photographer when you're out. Because like I said, I think initially when we get going, we think about some of those technical aspects of making the photograph. We want to make sure we get all of the T's crossed and the I's dotted to make sure we get that right exposure. But at some point then, other thoughts kind of start to creep into your head a little bit. And particularly because it's night and it's dark, and depending on where you are, you're thinking about safety and things like that. So like this last time, I was shooting off the side of a road. Some car came up and got really slow as it came up. And initially my thought was like, oh, that's nice. They're slowing down because, you know, they don't want to hit me or the car. Or they don't know where I am or whatever. But then they got even slower and slower. And then they almost stopped when they got even with my car. So now I'm starting to get a little paranoid. Now I'm starting to think, are they going to get out of their car? What are they doing? Why are they slowing down? Why are they almost stopping? You know, and eventually they moved on and drove on, and you know, nothing came of it other than I felt myself get a little bit more anxious, a little bit more tension. And even though I'm kind of out in the middle of nowhere, you know, I had these thoughts of like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen if they have to get out of the car or whatever. And that reset kind of then is the camera then clicks, the exposure gets done. I got to go back over there. And it took me a little bit of time to let that kind of anxiety go. The other thing that happened with that is I realized that it takes longer than we expect sometimes when this tension develops. So I go ahead and click on the next frame. I've got about a 25 second exposure, 30 second exposure. So that clicks. And then all of a sudden because of this little tension, heightened sense of awareness, all of a sudden I can starting to wonder, like, well, is that a coyote in the bushes that I hear? What's that noise? What's this or that? Now the flashlight that normally is being used for light painting is now starting to pan in the bushes behind the camera because now I've kind of got this lift of elevation of this kind of wispy tension, like I said, this heightened sense of awareness. Eventually that dissipates. Eventually I can get back and kind of get in the headspace. But what I noticed in that moment, though, and in that anxiety that started to develop, is it started to reframe how I would think about the photograph. So all of a sudden, some of the light painting, some of the things I was doing got a little bit more intense. They got a little bit more jagged, a little bit more rapid in their movement, because I physically am now responding to the environment I'm in. That sense of adrenaline rush caused a shift in how I would approach the photograph. At the same time, the other camera that's set up pointed in a different direction, different composition, running on a longer exposure, is still floating along without that response. It doesn't have that reaction from me into that exposure because it was set up before and it's still running. So what I found interesting in this kind of predicament I found myself in is I became hyper aware, like I said, of the emotional state I'm in driving the photography. And when I don't have that emotional state, I can really get in that serene space of what I want to be as a photographer, where I'm present in the moment, I'm able to react to my own sensibilities of the story and the narrative I want to tell. Because, you know, each frame, the goal is to get the essence of who I am into that frame, the story I want to tell into that frame. In addition, for me, part of that is the aesthetic of the frame as well. I want to think about composition and form and structure in a way that allows me to really feel like I'm getting what I want out of the photograph. That awareness of how much we bring to the frame, how much baggage we bring into the frame, really drives, I think, a lot of what happens to us when we evaluate our photographs. And as we think about what was happening when we made the photograph, I think when we get back and we start to edit photographs and we make decisions about when and what to edit, that process becomes really looking at and understanding what happened technically in the frame. Did I get the exposure right? Did I get the framing right? And the element that's missing there is that sensibility of potentially what was there when we made the photograph. And what I mean by that is, what was the attunement, the sensation, the drive, the feeling that was happening when we made the photograph? Because a lot of the decisions we make about whether a photograph is going to be successful or not from an editing standpoint is driven by the combination of the psychological, the physiological, and all of the technical compositional elements. So there's this visceral response. There's the things we bring to it, our emotional, our spirituality, all of those elements we bring into the frame and that photograph to decide, does that photograph elevate itself up? As I get back and start to look at the photographs from that evening, like I said, I can see that there's just a little fundamental shift in kind of the way the photographs were taken, the way I'm thinking about editing those photographs. And so is there a little bit more heavy-weighted, deep shadow, macabre element to the photograph because that's conveying more of the sense of that kind of anxiety tension that came up when that car stopped for whatever reason? Like I said, even though nothing happened, I still had that wisp of anxiety that developed. Or do I look at the photographs that happened before that or after that, once that sensation left, and do those become more illustrative of the narrative I want to tell, or are they both important? And I think for me, that was the key sort of reaffirming insight, because this is something I tell people I work with all the time. And it's one of those elements that I think, you know, if you teach something, sometimes you forget how it actually manifests itself in practice. So for me to get out and actually be shooting and having this response made me realize, when looking at that sequence of photographs, we were going to look at them in the contact sheet, I can see that just compositionally between when the events happened, all of a sudden I go from kind of a more calm, serene element environment to all of a sudden a little bit more chaotic, crowded environment, that there is some kind of shift that happens there. And if I can hold the awareness of that when I make the decision for the photographs, it allows me to really lean into that experience a little bit. Because each one is unique, each one is driven out of the experience I had, but I have to have that sense of awareness for what created that, what caused that. as you think about your own photographs, as you are looking at your own photographs, I think one of the key elements that we need to make sure that we contextualize and identify and describe and put language around is this idea of what's outside the technical side and what's in the emotional side, what's in the psychological side, what's in the spiritual side. And really, as you think about critiquing the photograph and not critiquing the quality of the photograph, but critiquing your understanding of the photograph, which is really what critique should be about enhancing our understanding of the photograph rather than judging whether or not we like the photograph. But as we dive deeper into those elements, identifying what is critical in each one of those central buckets, what really drove the experience and what drives your shooting experience, what drives your editing experience for your viewing experience. And don't dismiss some of those feelings you had when you were making the photographs, because if those elements come in and they permeate into the editing decisions and into the printing decisions, I think you end up with a much more powerful photograph, because at that moment that photograph was created, the totality of that experience is the culmination of all of the sensations you're experiencing, not just the decisions you're making about f-stops and shutter speeds. I would encourage you, you know, as you're making notes in the field, and or maybe you're recording thoughts in the field, or if you're not doing that, I would encourage you to take some notes. But don't forget to make sure you note kind of the way you're feeling, or the anxiety, or the tension, or the whatever it is. I mean, a lot of times when I do night photography, I just enjoy the serenity of that a minute or two where the camera's running and I don't have to think about anything, and I can just stand there and smell the world and look at other things, and really, like, at night I can see how many stars can I count. Whatever it is, get immersed into that. What are all those other sensations? And then how do we drive that back into the photography? Because I think that's one of our missing elements. We focus on getting the technical side right, but forgetting that the story element is not the technical side. The technical side is an execution of story. So that gives us an opportunity to think about something new. Hope you have a great week behind the camera. I hope you have an amazing, wonderful, creative experience this week. Don't forget to take care of your family and friends. And if you haven't heard from family or friends in a while, make sure you check in on them. Make sure they're doing okay. Don't forget, greatest photographer ever. All you got to do is put on a mask when you go out to take photographs. Greatest photographer ever. So don't forget, wear your mask. Thanks again for listening to the podcast. Hope you have a great week. Next week's podcast is from a great topic sent in by one of our listeners, and it's about focus. And how do you kind of stay focused on not shooting or editing, but really how do you kind of come up with some time-wise strategies for dealing with the non-editing tasks? So a lot of photography is about things that aren't driven by the camera. Social media, organization, marketing, all those different things. So how do we try to balance those? Because I think that's one of the things, as you start to work on your photography more and more, you're going to discover, particularly if you're starting to try to get out there and get your photography known or start to make a little bit of money off your photography, is the time of shooting and editing goes down significantly as other things take hold. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the strategies that I use to kind of help me stay focused, and also, you know, kind of acknowledge a little bit of a realization that a lot of times it's easy for me to get so distracted with my own other business strategies that I don't shoot as much as I'd like. So I'll talk a little bit about that and kind of how I deal with that psychology as well, because there is a lot of things that go on in getting work done and accomplished. So we'll talk about that. Have a great week, and thanks so much for listening.